All right, let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. As it's always on a Wednesday, but our guest was an international traveler, so we decided, well, what better way to start the show to kick off the weekend than with the columnist for USA Today, once upon a time roaming the boundaries here in town. You can check out his work online, usatoday.com. On Twitter, it's at George Schroeder. George, welcome back to the colonies. How was the trip?
Hey, we're good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So I happen to be talking in the last week to a couple of Register Guard guys, Austin Meek, Ryan Thorburn, and I was trying to figure out, when did you first arrive in Eugene, and had you ever been to Eugene before the process of getting the job at the Register Guard surfaced?
Oh, my goodness, and neither one of them knew it, right? Because neither one of them was around.
Right.
Obviously,
right.
Austin replaced me, so he'd never been, he wasn't around, and then Ryan came in also after I was there.
Right.
Okay, well, listen, I'm just amazed. Let me just start out. But anybody remembers I lived in Eugene, because Austin's doing a tremendous job, and time fades. And to the extent people do remember, they're like, yeah, I didn't like that guy. So there we go. And I'm kidding. But, man, we loved our time in Eugene. I know I've said that on the air a bunch. When I say we, I mean my family and I just loved the Pacific Northwest. It was tremendous. The Register Guard was a tremendous place to have a job, and I loved the forum that it allowed me to have in a community that we definitely grew to love. So, anyway, all that to say, August 2007, I took the job, and in my very first column, I addressed the only other time I had been to Eugene, other than in the interview process in the spring of 2007, right?
Right, and when was that?
So, in my very first column, and it was prompted by a kind of a, well, what do you write for your first column to introduce yourself to people? So my very first column, I wrote about, among other things, what the guy asked me at the visitor center, maybe it was a gas station in Ontario when we finally drove into the state on the eastern border. And what several other people kept asking me every time I told them what I was doing and how we were moving and where we were from in the few days after we'd gotten to Eugene. Which was, you're from Oklahoma? And the answer was no. I'm not actually from Oklahoma, but yeah, that's where we were moving from. Well, what did you think about the Oregon football game last
right.
year, which was 2006?
Right.
The infamous Replaygate game, much less infamous, and this is what I wrote in the column, much less infamous in Eugene, apparently, than it was in Oklahoma. I wrote about that. My very first column, and people reminded me about it ever after that. So it wasn't very long after that. I mean, for whatever reason, they decided that made me an Oklahoma fan, or that contributed
right.
to people thinking I was an Oklahoma fan, which I told people it got worse. I grew up in Arkansas, but it wasn't an Oklahoma fan. But so, you know, for a time, I did a radio show there, and one time a guy was on, and about halfway through his comments, and I don't know what our disagreement was about, but he wasn't real happy with me, as you know, as happens with callers from time
sure.
to time. And he called me, he said, you're just an Oklahomer. And I actually thought, you know, as much as I disagree with that statement, that's one of the funnier things anybody's ever said.
So, oh, that's awesome. That has got to be filed away to be used somewhere, somehow, once again.
Well, I'm sure you will use it, and then I'll be mad, and that's okay.
I'll give you credit, like a bibliography. So then I also was trying to piecemeal this together. I don't know why I've been interested in so many other people's background and history, but when you left Eugene, it wasn't for what you're doing now. Was it for Sports Illustrated? And did you move back to Oklahoma?
No, I left the Register Guard in August of 2012, so after 5 years as a columnist, and I did go immediately to USA Today. I did not immediately leave the state.
Okay.
But we knew we were going to, because the travel was going to be extensive and it was hard to do from the Northwest. So the real reason we didn't move immediately is because it was August, football season, which is what I was going to cover, was about to crank up, and the kids were in school. So we moved in May of 2013, at the end of that school year, or not really the end of the school year in Eugene, but kind of nearing the end of the school year.
All right. Now, I think I may have you confused job-wise with Lindsay Schnell.
Yeah. Now, she went to – now, I wrote for Sports Illustrated as a contributor
right.
while I was at the Register Guard, which may be what confused you a little bit.
Okay.
But once I went to USA Today, I didn't do that anymore, obviously. Yeah, Lindsay was at the Oregonian, and then at Sports Illustrated, and now she's with us.
Right.
All right. So, yeah, so – that's how that went.
I got it all piecemeal together, finally. So we're talking with George Schroeder. So you were in Guatemala, which is kind of a unique country, though not big size-wise. The population I was reading is about 17 million. You know, they've really gone through a transformation the last 20 years or so. Oceans on both sides. It's got an amazing history. How would you describe life in that country that you got to witness?
Oh, well, it's definitely a third world country, and I was there on a mission trip, and
right.
I've been there five or six times over the last 4 or 5 years, it's certainly a third world country, there's no question, and there are crazy extremes of people who are very, very, very wealthy, and people who are so poor that they make the folk that we call poor, who are poor in the States, they are poor, don't get me wrong, but they make them look wealthy.
Right.
I mean, it's dirt floors and no running water of any kind, and you know it's that kind of poverty. So it's a place of tremendous extremes, and they're so much more jarring when you see the really well off folk, and then you see almost literally next door a barrio, a terrible neighborhood that's just barely put together with sheet metal roofs and siding if they can get in sheet metal siding if they can get it. So it's definitely a challenging place.
No, I saw some of the pictures you took and some of the stuff you sent. It's also a beautiful place, but like you said, filled with heartbreak, I'm sure.
I've grown to love it. I'll just tell you that. I mean, it's a place that's kind of grown in my heart since my daughter wanted to go on a mission trip several years ago, and several months after she said, "Hey, can I go?" I said, "Well, hey, can I go with you?" And so anyway.
All right. Well, obviously, while you were there, the World Cup was taking place, and it's certainly the most popular sport there. And I know the Guatemalan team has participated in the CONCACAF and been a FIFA member for a long time. They've never qualified for the World Cup. But folks in that country where you were able to travel and where they had access, I guess, to the media, were they pretty wired into the World Cup despite the national team not being involved?
Without question. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, in anybody who's ever traveled basically to any other country during the World Cup probably has experienced something like this. But I found it to be the case in Mexico years and years ago when I happened to be there during the World Cup. And it's like this here. Every TV is tuned to the World Cup in the mornings when it's on currently, right? Because it's
right.
They're on essentially mountain time, basically. Our mountain time is what the Guatemala's time zone they're in, or whatever they adhere to. So, I'll tell you, the day one, my kids and I got there a day early ahead of the rest of our team. So we checked into a hotel in a nice area in Guatemala City. We were just going to grab a really light lunch because we knew we were going to dinner with some friends that we know. And so we just walked around the corner to a McDonald's, which, look, don't get me wrong, I love Guatemalan restaurants, but this was just a quick thing.
Right.
First of all, their McDonald's are different than ours in terms of their, they have a McCafe type of setup where they have like a coffee shop off to the side that serves coffee related drinks like you would expect in any coffee shop.
Right.
Anywhere. And they've got TVs, and it's just a different kind of vibe. Well, all of the flat-screen TVs were on the World Cup, which didn't really surprise me. What I noticed, though, as we waited for my daughter's order, was you turn on, you watch, and you got all these guys, and they're just sort of, they're eating, but their heads are up at the up and watching the TVs, a little bit like you'd see in a sports bar, probably,
sure.
In the States. And they're watching it, and then we walked into the McCafe because I thought I'd get a coffee. And so we're around the corner from the main TVs, and you could literally hear the oohs and the ahs of something is happening, something's happening, here they go, and then, a score would not occur. Then about 5 minutes later, all of a sudden you heard this the same ooing and, you know, getting sort of, you know, almost like an intake of breath collectively, and then somebody scored, and you heard the, you know, the signature call that we always hear from announcers talking in Spanish, where they draw the goal out forever, and then they say it again, and then they say it again.
Yep.
And I'm not going to attempt it, but you've got it, and you've heard it. And it was just an amazing, it was like, all right, I think I knew this, but everybody cares about the World Cup here. It doesn't matter who's playing. Doesn't matter that Guatemala's not playing. In fact, they've got, like, billboards set up, temporary billboards set up on sort of the major, some of the major streets in Guatemala City that will show you the current score of today's game.
Wow, that's awesome.
It updates, you know, if Argentina scores on so-and-so, suddenly it says, you know, 2-1. And a minute ago it said 1-1. I mean, they're all paying attention, which was really cool.
Wow, so they're more, I thought they'd be wired in. You're talking about, like, that's kind of pushing the heartbeat of the sports fans in the entire country.
Everywhere they can be wired in, they're wired in. I mean, people are doing things like watch on their phones, just like we would the NBA Finals or something. You know, I mean, they're doing things like that to the extent that they have, you know, because, I mean, so many people have smartphones, just like we do now.
Right.
So, I mean, it's every way, shape, and form you can follow the World Cup, they're doing it.
Yeah, it's a really interesting perspective. And I know you've got to cover some great things, you know, went to China for the Olympics, you know, living in Arkansas, Oklahoma here, great college town. What about the George Schroeder level of engagement or caring about this World Cup?
I'm enjoying it, and I definitely paid attention to it. We stayed in the home of a Guatemalan family while we were there, and so they had it on every day, so I was paying attention. I'm definitely more excited now that we've reached sort of the knockout round.
Yeah,
that's going to be fun. You know, it ramps it all up when you know, guess what? There ain't going to be no draw, boys. You know, that changes the game for me. Obviously, it literally changes the game, but I mean, it seems like the passion and the intensity is much more so than even it is in the, you know, during the early rounds when they're just trying to get through. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, us too. I'll tell you what, working here and just having it on in the monitor from when you come in till an hour before you go on the air sure makes the regular weekday an awful lot of fun.
Hey, I'm not sure I'll ever get to cover one, but that's definitely a bucket list to either cover or at least attend. And obviously in 2026, if we're all still around and kicking, I might get a chance to cover it, but I definitely plan to try to figure out a way to attend it since you know, the majority of the games will be in the United States.
No, that would be awesome. Talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. So now it's NBA free agent season, and in your neck of the woods, Paul George, of course, joined Carmelo Anthony and Russ Westbrook, and they were a 4 seed but lost in the first round. We know that George is an L.A. guy, but in your city, what's the buzz about what he might do, and are fans on board that they want him back for another run?
Oh, there's no question everybody wants him back. They think Paul George was tremendous, and I think they're right. I think there's sort of a cautious optimism that he'll re-sign. I think that's a little overconfidence, frankly. I'm not saying he won't re-sign with Oklahoma City. I'm saying the pull of L.A. is pretty intense on him, I think, as a hometown type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, Oklahoma City has the opportunity to offer him a ton of money, more than anybody else can, and that's got to be a piece of this, too. But, you know, I mean, you hear people saying, it's 50-50. I don't know if it's 50-50. I mean, maybe it's 40-60 that he stays in Oklahoma City. But, you know, those aren't great odds unless you're hitting a baseball, and that's pretty good.
One general question about that LeBron James guy. You know, as somebody who follows the game and is a fan at a certain level, do you think it would be better for fans of the NBA if he stayed in Cleveland, tried to maybe be part of resurrecting the once great Laker franchise, try a young team like Philly or Boston? As somebody who's always looking for an interesting story, what do you think would grab you the most?
I think the whole better for the NBA thing would be great, but better for the NBA would involve a whole lot more than wherever LeBron goes. It would involve, let's stop collecting superstars all on one team, and that's just not going to happen. You know, started, frankly, with the Heat back when he did it the first time. Now you've got the Warriors taking it to a different level with adding Durant. And so, I don't know that there's a better for the NBA. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess better for the NBA – you could make an argument it might be going to somewhere like Boston or Philadelphia. I don't know that he's going to go either place, but say Philadelphia with a young roster that's very talented, that'd be tremendous for the NBA and perhaps would create a team that might be a foil for Golden State. I don't know that him going to L.A., other than creating a bunch of media coverage, does a tremendous amount, even if they were to get Paul George, too, for example, or Kawhi Leonard, and I don't think they're going to get all three.
Right.
I still don't think that with, you know, any combination of those two, of two of those three guys, that they're going to challenge the Warriors for supremacy in the West.
Nah, I'm on board with you. And, of course, as a New Yorker, if he goes to Boston, I'll just be aggravated. But anyway, folks, he's George Schroeder. He's back in the States. George, obviously, July 4th, so it'll be a couple weeks till we chat again. So enjoy your weekend, your holiday, your family, and we'll catch up on the other side of July.
Sounds great. Look forward to it.
All right, take it easy.